We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere.
Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is our sister, Melanie Randall. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine. Yes, indeed.
It's good to see you.
Good to be here.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. Or you can comment on the Facebook post, or you can send it in Messenger on our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get that uploaded shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is the Refuge Church, now located at New Liberty in Sayre, Oklahoma, Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Please like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's the replay. I think I got it. Oh, and today is Thursday, so we will have a word from Pastor Dwight on the Truth broadcast. He will not be in the building. However, after this broadcast has ended, we will reset the iPad and come back with a word from him. Would you like to pray to start us out, Miss Melanie?
All righty. Father God, we just thank you for another month that we are able to come and to share. Thank you, Lord, for this year of 2024. For February, Lord, thank you for how you're helping us all, Lord, to make it through so far this year. Father God, I thank you for this message. It will not be a new one to those that are faithful listeners, but I hope that it will bring a new release in their spirit to be the soldiers that you have called us to be. And so, God, I thank you for it. I thank you for what you're going to do in this broadcast today. Bless those that are listening, Lord. Touch each and every heart. Let there be even new listeners, Lord, that they would receive what they need from this broadcast on this morning. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. The ultimate soldier. I'm excited about this title. I'm ready.
Amen. We're going to clue in on being a soldier and being a warrior as well. And because there is a, kind of a slight difference between the two. If you look up the definition, you'll see both words and, you know, used for the setting of each. You'll see soldier for warrior and warrior for soldier. But you'll see some other things as well. And I believe because of the day and time in which we're living in, God is calling us to be more, how you want to say, more aggressive, you know, and not just be passive about us being in the army of God. It's, we don't have any time to be passive about our status as soldiers in God's army. We got to be progressively moving forward and taking over spiritual territory, if you will. And so that's what I'm hoping, you know, in sharing this today. But as far as I can remember, I believe I've shared this twice, if I can, I'm not mistaken already. But this, like I said, I want people to take this as a newness, a new charge, if you will. As I just said, I can just kind of see within my mindset people with their weapons in their hands raised up and running, the spiritual weapon, the word of God, and just running across, you know, the plains there, and with the word charge. And so I charge you this morning to run as never before and be that soldier in God's army that can take back territory, that can conquer the enemy fully. I'm going to read this. It's called The Ultimate Soldier, and it's kind of a takeoff from the soldier in the army, and I just kind of added my own little thing to it to be God's soldier. So anyway, I'm going to read it. It says, I am God's soldier. I am a warrior and a member of a team. I serve the people of the Lord Jesus Christ. I live in the kingdom. I will always place the mission first. I will never quit. I will never leave a fallen comrade. I am disciplined physically and mentally tough. I am trained, proficient in my warrior task and drills. I will always maintain my arms, my equipment, and myself. I am an expert, though I may feel I am an amateur. I stand ready to deploy, engage, and destroy the enemies of the kingdom. I am a guardian of freedom and the kingdom way of life. I am God's soldier. And so, you know, if we get that mindset in our spirits, we can accomplish the task or the mission that God has given us. God just needs a committed soldier. And so the word ultimate means the greatest possible extent or to the maximum. So we're not just talking about just being any kind of soldier. You got to be dedicated. You got to be devoted. You've got to be diligent in your tasks. You got to be determined to stand. It doesn't matter what comes, okay? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, and it starts at verses 3 and 4, it says, you therefore must endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one entangled in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. All righty, so we have to be good soldiers. We have to endure hardness as good soldiers. Means that when adversity comes in our lives, when the hard things come, we have to still be able to hold on to all that we can of God and maintain our stance as a soldier. We can't be lazy soldiers. We can't be evil soldiers. We can't be, weak-minded soldiers. And we're here to please the one who enlisted us, which is God, our commanding officer. Mm-hmm. And see, in John 8:29, Jesus said that he always did that which pleased the Father. Jesus said that now. And he is our ultimate example, if you will. And so I want you to keep that in mind, that Jesus is our ultimate example. John 15:16. And it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. All right. So first of all, Jesus chose us. God chose us. And so we just need to answer the call. We've been enlisted. We've been drafted, if you will. And so we just need to answer the call and get on in there, you know, as we should, and follow the lead of our commanding officer. And when you see that, where Jesus said in the other passage of scripture that I didn't read in John 8:29, that he always did that which pleased the Father, wouldn't we all love to have children like that? Wouldn't we all like to be children of God like that? Yes. You know, that we would do that, because we know we don't always do that which pleased the Father, but we need to be striving towards doing that. We need to be doing that. And so we are not here to please, as I've said before, we are not here to please the carnal mindset of man. But since God has been the one to call us to this service, to this army of his, to his kingdom army, we're here to please him. keep that in mind. We're here to please God. In man's army, you enlist yourself, or you may have been drafted in. The Spirit of God draws you into God's service. If you don't feel the drawing power of the Holy Ghost, you won't enlist. And so when you go to John 6 and 44, I thank God for the Word of God, because if you don't have the Word of God, you don't have what you need to really help you be the person you need to be.
That's right.
All righty, 6 and 44. I'm going to start at 43. It says, Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I shall raise him up at the last day. You can't come to unless you're being drawn. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes, you know, we're pushing people and we kind of get in our own flesh, you know, and want them to get on in, you know, with God and commit their lives to God. But the thing that's going to get them in there is the drawing power of the Spirit of God. We are to share. We're to, you know, share, get a starting point, you know, plant the seed. But there's no way that we're going to push and just, you know, browbeat them and just make them do. If the Spirit of God is not drawing them, they're not coming. So what we need to do in our way of sharing, after we share, then just pray, God, draw them by your Spirit. That's what we need to be praying for people in these days and times. Draw them by your Spirit. We are in active duty. I want you to get that. We are in active duty, people of God. It's not a temporary duty. It's not a TDY. That's what the military calls it, is temporary duty. And temporary duty can be like 3 months. You go, like my dad did when he was in the Air Force for 20 years, 3 months over in Thailand or wherever, you know, overseas, and then come back home to your family. No, we are in a permanent duty. This duty started, believe it or not, this duty started before we ever came here. God already had plans for us before we ever came. And so when we came here, we're here to fulfill the purpose for what he put us here. And it doesn't stop until we get on out of here and go back to our heavenly home. And so, and in order for you to go to that place from where you started, you got to accept what Jesus provided for us to make it back to that place. So I want you to know, this is not a TDY. We've got to stay in active duty. We can't be spiritual draft dodgers, resisting the wooing of the Holy Ghost. Oh my. That's a big one right there. Somebody's resisting the wooing of the Holy Ghost. You can't do that just too much, because after a while, the Spirit of God won't always strive with man. So you need to stop resisting the call to active duty and take your rightful place on base. And I want you to know, you won't have to serve alone. You won't have to be alone in this duty. It's not a one-man army. Thank God that it's not. Thank God that it's not a one-man army. That just resonates so in my spirit. God not has not called us to be lone rangers. You know, you're going to have a Tonto or a somebody. Yes, indeed. You're going to have somebody to go along with you somewhere. Batman has a Robin. My God. I'm going to go to a passage here. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and 26 here. Yes, indeed. Chapter 10 and verse 26. I'm going to start at 25. It says, let me make sure I'm on the right thing here. Then Samuel explained to the people the behavior of royalty and wrote it in a book and laid it before the Lord. This is dealing when they chose, where God chose for them to have a king because they wanted a king. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and valiant men went with him, whose hearts God had touched. Now, here is Saul has been chosen to be king, and it says that valiant men, that whose hearts God had touched. He God did his own little thing and bringing men to be alongside King Saul. And so that's such a beautiful thing. God won't leave you alone. He will send valiant people to serve with you in his army. As you can see that I have on some military gear here. This is some kind of military. This is an official military jacket here, and there's a kind of a military shirt. This is my 50-year-old military ID tag, and it has on there, it has Holly Melanie R. Holly was my maiden name. Then it says D-A-U, meaning daughter, and then it has my dad's name, and then it has identification number. I can't remember if that's my dad's identification number or what, but anyway. And then it has A positive because that's my blood type. And the last thing it has on there is Pentecostal. I don't know if they still put all of that on their tag or not. It had the church affiliation, you know, organization that we are part of, Pentecostal. And so you got to be identified. See, that's that. You got to be identified with God's army. And I'm not talking necessarily about just the Pentecostal. I'm talking about having an identification of who you are, period, with your name on there, knowing, you know, who you are, your blood type. Oh, you got to be of the blood type of Jesus. I'm gonna tell you right now, it better be a positive thing too. you don't want a negative blood type with God. It's all right, you know, the natural, you know, but with Jesus, you want the positive blood type of the Lord Jesus Christ, identifying you as His soldier. Oh yeah, you want that? Yes, indeed. And so, you know, it's important. All of these different things are important. The fatigues that one wears in the natural service are made to accommodate the particular task. All these different pockets that are on here, I think there's about 4 pockets I've got on here on this particular jacket. And they're made, like I say, to accommodate whatever particular things you need to have, you know. And so you have to be identified for not only just for the purpose of who you are, but you got to be identified so that you can make use of the facilities on the base. When you are identified as being in the Air Force or whatever branch of service you are and you're a part of that, or you are, as we were, military dependents. The reason why I've got a dog tag, because I was a military dependent, and when we went overseas to be with my dad in Guam for 2 years, we had to be identified with him. You know, they just couldn't start just sending anybody over there, nieces and nephews and cousins, and you know, if they just because they want to go to a place and have a good time. No. We got to be identified that we're with him. And so these particular puttees were made for wallets, notepads, survival manuals, compass, signaling mirror, pocket-sized knife, military rations, and possibly a Gideon's New Testament. If you were part of a flight crew, you had a checklist and zippered pockets so nothing would fall out if you hit an air pocket. Think about that for a minute. Zippered pockets so nothing would fall out if you hit an air pocket. You want to have as your spiritual gear the Word of God so that when the enemy comes with disturbance, with his air pockets, if you will. You will have what you need because you have hid it in your heart, and it's all right to have it in hand as well. So what are we showing forth in the lives that we live? Are we showing forth that we are part of God's army? Not that you have to have a camouflage thing on there saying that you're, you know, in God's army, but I'm saying what is showing forth when you are living and behaving each and every day with other individuals, interacting with others. What is coming forth when in the way that you carry yourself and the way that you are conducting yourself on your job or conducting yourself in, let me say, in social media? Because some people kind of hide the real their real selves. And then, you know, it's really funny about social media. Some people hide their real selves, and they got a whole different persona on social media. Then you got the other people, their real selves really come out. The real person that you never knew comes out on social media. And so what are we doing? Are we doing Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? You know, what are we doing? We got to be in God's army projecting the image of Christ. And so we can wear all the Christian gear we want to wear. But if we're not projecting that in our lifestyle, it means nothing. It means not a thing. I want us to know that we got to get the mentality of a warrior, not just only as a soldier, but as a warrior as well. See, warriors are aggressive, and they go out to conquer fully, conquer completely. Soldiers should be doing that as well, but the mentality of warriors is more aggressive to do so. And so since we're living in such times where people are acting in the way that they're acting in deceptive manners. Deception is the biggest thing going, look like, in today's setting. We've got to walk even more so to counteract that in truth. See, this is all about being God's soldier. And so if we're God's soldier, we're going to operate in the truth of God. We can't walk around and people or have to try to figure out, is that truth? Is that real? Or is that false? Is that, you know, what is it? No, we got to give a clear picture of what we represent. And as a scripture that talks about that the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violence taketh by force, it's time for us to start taking things by force in the spirit. See, I have to keep saying that in spirit, because I don't want nobody to get the wrong message that we going out with a righteous physical, they don't call it this way. Somebody say, this is my righteous rifle, you know. Oh, no. I'm not talking about the physical thing. I'm talking about in the spirit, praying in sincerity, praying over, you know, our nation, praying over the wars that are going on. I don't know how many are really taking seriously, you know, these strikes that are going on, you know, that our president has sent out as far as the military, making these various strikes, because, see, they're getting more and more involved in these skirmishes. When you're going to hitting 85 points of wherever, you know, and trying, and we have to do that because we have to protect our own. We just can't sit here and just let them just keep, you know, striking us everywhere and killing our military people. And so when you see that these things are going on, and it can become an even a bigger thing, a bigger skirmish, a bigger deal, you know, we have to pray. We have to seriously pray about these things, that God will intervene. We have to be physically fit and mentally sharp on the natural side, dealing with being in the army of man. And God's army, we need to be fit. We need to be fit. We need to be mentally sharp. We need to be alert. We need to have good discernment. We don't need to be just any kind of way in the army of God. We've got to be alert. We've got to be alert. We've got to be awake. We got to have our wits about us. And being where we are looking about us and seeing where the enemy may be lurking. the military drills, marches, learning about the branches, you know, all of these things that take place when you're in basic training. You have these drills, these marches, and you learn about the branch of service that you are in. Well, we got to learn the word of God. It's, you know, we can't just depend on our Sunday morning session, because we're not having just one session of the enemy coming against us. Oh, no. The enemy comes on all fronts, see? You got to understand, even in the military, with Israel fighting Hamas, they're having to hit all fronts of, you know, where they may be. They just can't hit just one target area. No, because the enemy will just go into the other place, you know. So the enemy is coming from all fronts. And so we've got to be able to stand against the enemy from wherever he is coming. When you enter the military world, you have to do away with the civilian mindset and take on the military mindset. Oh, my, that's important right there. People of God, when you leave the world of the devil, you leave all of that behind and you become a soldier in the kingdom of God. You take on the mindset of God. It is time for the body of Christ to take on the mindset of God. We got to start thinking a different way than what we've been thinking. You know, I was told something yesterday about the Grammys. I didn't watch the Grammys. I just don't be that interested. They didn't got so out of hand, you know, it's not worth watching. But anyway, I was shared something about the Grammys. Someone was telling me about how Jay-Z had gotten up and had some words and was talking about Beyonce. Now, Beyonce has gotten multitude of Grammys. I mean, multitude. And he said his wife had gotten, you know, various Grammys. And he said, well, but she has never received Album of the Year. I think that's what it was, Album of the Year. And I'm sitting there thinking, and I told the president, I says, so all them Grammys she got, and he's still worried about, you know, one other type of Grammy she hadn't received. See, this is, I'm sharing this because this is the mindset of the world. We're setting our affections on things below instead of setting our affections on things above. You know, he's still, you know, she needs to accept, you know, she needs to have this other one, you know. We've got to set our affections on things above. We got to set our priorities right. What's important? What's important is how we live a life to glorify God on this earth and how we help others to live a life to glorify God on this earth. That's what's important. All the rest of it is just fringe benefits, if you want to put it that way, you know. And praise God for the fringe benefits, you know. But don't put the fringe benefits ahead of the mission. Ahead of the mission at hand for which we are here. The military has its own code of ethics and way of operation. Its own code of ethics now. And so does the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has its own code of ethics and its way of operation too. It is a more disciplined, structured culture of lifestyle. God's army is disciplined, look out for others. It's a heavenly outlook, and it's seeking the kingdom of God. The world is undisciplined, self is number one, and you seek worldly pleasures. It's just that simple, you know. It really is. And so what are we seeking for? What is our primary seek? Our primary seek should not be the pleasures. Because God will give you, like I said, God will give you the other if you seek him. God, and he won't wait till you die and get out of here to start giving you some of these fringe benefits, I'm telling you. And so we've got to seek him. Let's think about how some adversity comes. Well, I might want to make this a stopping point to see about prayer requests before we go forward.
Okay.